It's great to be with you once again this morning. It's been a year since we've been here, and it's always good to visit Norwin Alliance Church and to have the privilege of occupying this pulpit and seeing how God has blessed your lives and your congregation in the number of years that we've been in Florida, which is now 34. So it seems a long time, half a lifetime ago, since I was a pastor here. But it's great to be with you today, and especially on this holiday weekend. And I thought I would choose a message and a scripture that would fit with the holiday weekend, as well as kind of giving you what's kind of on my heart today. John 8:36, Jesus said this, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." As we celebrate this 4th of July holiday, I hope that you will really focus on, and for those of us who are parents and grandparents, encourage your children and grandchildren to focus on the real purpose of the holiday. That 241 years ago, colonists from 13 colonies banded together and fought for the liberty and freedom of what we now call the United States of America. And gave us that beginning as a nation where we could be free politically and socially and where we could worship according to the dictates of our hearts and life. Freedom. Today that's very significant as well as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. I want to focus you on the spiritual freedom that we have the privilege of experiencing today as believers. But you know, the more I thought about this message that God was laying on my heart, the more I realized how far from not only politically correctness, but church correctness it is today. Because it's not popular to talk about sin from the pulpit. It's not popular to bring to our minds the thoughts that there is that thing called sin. That even though we are free, because the blood of Christ set us free, and I guess I should probably keep this going here, right? When we receive Christ as Savior and Lord, we are free from sin's penalty and damnation. That's a great statement. Too many of us, that is the beginning and the end, so to speak, of our Christian growth. We forget that we need to keep on growing in our relationship with Christ. Perhaps the first verse, or one of the first verses that you memorized, as I did when I was a little boy, "For the wages of sin is death." Romans 6:8. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Or, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Or, "If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things become new." I can remember that July night in a youth camp when God spoke to my heart and showed me my disobedience as a son of my parents, as an 8-year-old boy, and I received Jesus as my Savior. In that moment of time, when I confessed my sins to God, God forgave me. He cleansed me. He came into my heart and life. He gave me the assurance of heaven and the gift of eternal life. He freed me from the penalty of sin, which is damnation, which is separation from God. Well, that's it. My sins are gone. I remembered an old song that we used to sing. It kind of went this way. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God. My sins are G-O-N-E gone. And if we're politically correct as Christians today, my sins are gone. Now all I have to do is go on living, and everything will be fine. However, as we find out, just by living, there's a constant threat to our freedom as believers in Christ. A freedom that today we, a danger today that we don't often talk about, because there are chains that can bind us as believers. Yes, when we receive Christ, our sins are gone. They're forgiven. We have eternal life. I'm not questioning that at all. But the thing that we often forget about is what Dr. Simpson, the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, talked about when he talked about being wholly sanctified. Or A.W. Tozer talked about, one of the past presidents of the Alliance, of the deeper life, where we need to go on growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And whether we realize it or not, all of us are affected by it. We still have an old sin nature inside of us that wars against God and living to please God. In Romans chapter 7, the chapter Jeff did not read from, I want to call to your attention several verses. And I'm reading it out of the New Living Translation because this is a passage, this is one of those passages that if you want to properly understand it, you pretty well have to diagram it. You remember diagramming from English? Because Paul has a tendency to ramble in his sentences. But let me just share this from Romans chapter 7. In verse 14, he says, "The trouble is not with the law. The trouble is with me, for I am too human, a slave to sin." Now, we're not talking about Saul of Tarsus. We're talking about Paul the Apostle, who this is years after his conversion to Christ, years after he became a fearless missionary and preacher of the gospel. And it is Paul who says, "The trouble is with me, for I am too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate." Verse 18, "Nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway." Verse 21, "I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. The power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will deliver me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" Or as the old King James said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death?" This is Paul the Apostle, a man that we highly look up to. And he's telling us the truth about the battle of sin that still remained in him. The problem with many Christians today is we don't even know we're at war. We think all is peace and safety. I can go about and live. It kind of works in my mind this way. We've got our salvation. We know that when we die, we're going to be with the Lord in heaven. So we just go on living. And that assurance can allow us to become a little overconfident and careless in the way that we live. Many Christians today have a very weak view of sin. I know that God has forgiven my sin, but it won't hurt if I... God will forgive me anyway. It kind of reminds me of those who in the past went to confession to confess their sins so that they could get rid of that, so that if they did it again, they could go to confession and be forgiven and just keep going on that way. But we don't go to confession today. And too many Christians don't participate in confession of their sins before God. Even when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, let a man examine himself, and the purpose of examining ourselves is to see if there's any sin that's there that needs to be confessed to God, forgiven, cleansed, and a new path to enter so that we don't keep doing those same things over again. But we've developed a rather weak view of sin. I believe that many Christians today are kind of like the frog in the kettle. They jump into the kettle and they do something that's wrong, but it's not that bad, so they don't think anything about it, and then they do something else, and they do something else, and the temperature in the kettle is getting hotter and hotter, and they don't even feel it until they've lulled themselves to sleep in the kettle of life. And by that time, well, they can get boiled in their sin. But even though we don't acknowledge sin, we oftentimes wonder, why don't I really feel life in my relationship with Jesus Christ? Why don't I feel vibrancy? Or why do I feel guilty? Why am I not really living the abundant life Christ promised to give? Jeremiah the prophet said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" This morning, as we prepare to receive the Lord's Supper, I do want you to examine your heart. I want you to check in the question, how can we be set free and live in spiritual freedom? I want you to think about your life as a Christian right now. What are the sins that you may have allowed to attach themselves to you or your lifestyle unknowingly that are keeping you from spiritual freedom? For instance, how pure is your thought life? Lust, pornography, emotional fidelity? What are you watching, reading, looking at on the internet? How do you spend your time? What are you daydreaming about? Is it okay if Jesus looks over your shoulder in all of your listening and reading? Or on what are you dependent? What are your addictions? Do you have any? Perhaps not to drugs or alcohol, but how about television? Or the computer? Or video games? Or the iPod or the iPad or the iPhone? You notice all of those have I in front of them? I'm not sure that that's not too far from the culture in which we live that is very I-centered. Going back to addictions, how about food? Or buying and spending? Or collecting? Or hoarding? Or laziness? Or leisure? Too much of anything, even good things, brings us into bondage. How well do you love others? Not just those who are easy to like or love, but you know, the ones who really rub you the wrong way. Do some of these characterize your relationship with other people? Impatience, irritability. How is your temper? Is it always under control? Criticism, hurtful responses, or the opposite? Absolute indifference. How is your relationship with other people, like your husband or wife or your parents or your children or your brothers and sisters? Are there those that you really resent towards whom you have bitterness, that you inwardly hate? 1 Corinthians 13, are you patient and kind, boastful or proud, selfish or rude? And how good are you with the truth? Are you really truthful with others? With yourself? To what degree are you living according to the truth that God has revealed to you in His Word? How strong is your faith, your trust in God? Or is it riddled with doubt and disbelief and explaining away the real meaning of the verse of Scripture that's trying to bring conviction? How are you doing with selfishness and self-centeredness? How self-disciplined are you in your relationship with God and with others? Are you doing your best all of the time or just well enough to get by? Do you really love spending time in God's Word? How effective is your prayer life? Today I've got to ask the question, do you have one? Are you consistently spending time in fellowship with others and encouraging and discipling those God has brought into your life? Someone has written these words, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. The problem that I see that we face with many of these little sins dulls our sensitivity to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And left unchecked, these sins begin to take over the control of our lives and our relationships and bring us into bondage, into spiritual and emotional slavery. Sooner or later, we feel, though we're believers, we feel estranged from God. We feel guilty. We feel disconnected. And I've got to tell you today, though I've spent a lot of years counseling people how to get away from guilt, we shouldn't stop feeling true guilt. Because true guilt is God's censor in us to let us know that there's something wrong in our relationship with Him and we need to do something about it. As Jeff read those scriptures to us this morning, from Romans 6 and Romans 8. There's sin in us that should not be our master. It says in Romans 6, count yourselves dead to sin. In verse 13, offer yourselves to God. Verse 14, sin shall not be your master. It is not God's will for you and me as believers to allow ourselves to become overcome with sin that wars within us. Okay, what do we need to do to be set free, to experience spiritual freedom? Number one, I suggest, and this is very fitting for what we're going to be doing in the next few minutes, number one, assess yourself thoroughly. As we prepare to receive the Lord's Supper, examine yourself before the Lord. And allow His Holy Spirit to bring conviction upon you in any area. My suggestion is say, Lord, show me anything in my life that is wrong or that is displeasing to You or that I need to work on. And take it before Him. Confess it to Him right now and ask for His forgiveness and cleansing. Then surrender yourself anew to the Holy Spirit for His control and His empowerment of your life, because you cannot live, I cannot live victoriously over sin without the empowerment and strengthening and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Fourth, identify those sinful patterns as to how they slipped in your life. We need to have a good offensive in order to defend ourselves. And part of the offense is knowing how those things started to slip in when we got into that kettle and didn't realize it. And then daily assess yourself before God and ask for His forgiveness and cleansing. Whether you do it in the morning or in the evening or both, we need to have a daily cleansing that takes place so that we assess ourselves and keep our relationship with God up to date. Daily, fill your mind with God's thoughts through His Word. More and more today, we are living in a politically correct world that wars against the values, the principles of God's Word. In order to be able to stand, you've got to fill your mind with God's Word. In order to fill your mind with God's Word, you've got to get into it and allow His Word to speak to you. And daily, be prepared for spiritual warfare because you and I are constantly at war. I think as the United States, with the war on terrorism now, we're realizing our need for preparedness at all times, and we recognize that a terrorist can strike at any time, at any place. It's not like an advancing army coming to the front of the battle and whatnot. It's random. I got to tell you, that's how the enemy works with you and me. It's random. At any time, at any place, he's going to sneak up on us and try and pull it over on us. And so we need to be prepared for warfare. I want to tell you this morning that we are not free if we neglect to deal with sin within us as Christians. We are not free. But God, through Christ, can give you and me freedom today. And so we want you to be able to leave here today knowing that you are really free. Not just feeling freedom, because feelings can come and go. But knowing that according to what God says in His Word, I am free because I've done everything God has told me to do to bring my life into alignment with His plan for my life. We're going to celebrate freedom on Tuesday as we celebrate the 4th of July. This morning, as we receive the elements of the Lord's Supper, we are going to celebrate spiritual freedom before Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we do thank You for Your power that is at work within us to show us what is wrong and to keep us on the right path. Lord, thank You that You've given us Your Word to tell us what You desire of us. Thank You that You give us Your Holy Spirit that shows us ourselves and that makes Your Word come alive in our hearts and lives. And thank You for the peace that You want to give us, assuring us of our freedom before You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.